Micah chapter 6. I was thinking the other day about the individuals in the church, the individuals on earth. We need to recognize something. God is interested in every person. And that means He's interested in you this morning. I want you to forget about everybody except for yourself. This message is directed to you and no one else. I say this morning, God's interested in every person in the pew. He's interested in every person on earth. Whether it's here at True Gospel Baptist Church or walking down New York City streets or in the jungle of Africa, every person on earth matters to God. I want to ask you a question. What is His desire for you? I want to try to preach this morning on the person in the pew. Micah chapter 6. Then he says in verse 8 and following, I'll show you what the Lord wants. He had showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? What does He want? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Here's what God wants. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Notice that verse 8. He have showed thee, O man. He is speaking to an individual. He's talking to you and to me. I said again, nobody else is here. Nobody else matters, at least for these next few minutes. Only you, you're the person in the pew. What does God want? What does God desire? Yes, what does God require of you? I say first that God expects us to have a supernatural conversion. He first addressed this person with the title, O man. He wants him to realize his condition. He wants him to realize he is nothing but a man. That word man there means human being, but it has roots in Adam. The first thing God wants you to recognize, the first thing He desires and, yes, requires is that you recognize you are a man or a human. That means you are a sinner. I am a sinner before anything else. Before all that we could talk about our lives and our accomplishments and our desires and our goals, we must recognize according to God's standard. That's the one that matters. You're the person in the pew this morning. You are a sinner in need of salvation. What does God desire? What does He expect? What does He demand? That you are converted. He expects man to have a supernatural conversion. Those things being said, let's move to the New Testament, Luke 19. I want to look at an example of a man who had a conversion. A man who experienced exactly what I'm talking about this morning that you need to and I need to experience. Luke 19 is talking about our friend Zacchaeus in verse 1, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was short of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man of false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, listen, this day is salvation come to this house, For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We find here a man that has experienced exactly what I'm talking about, that you need to experience, a supernatural conversion. Here's a man who was a sinner. We, in fact, see first his sinful condition. It very clearly says in verse 2, he was the chief of publicans. That was a tax collector. They were hated in that day because of how they mistreated people. They cheated people any way they could. And because of that, he had gained great riches. But he was just like you are, a sinner. This Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means since all have sinned, that means I have sinned. You have sinned. We are sinners. Romans 3:10 said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:12 said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you think you're not a sinner, you are deceived, and the truth is not in you. And even further in 1 John, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar. How do we do that? Well, he says you're a sinner. And if you say you aren't, that's making God a liar. I don't think there's much question about what the Bible says. We all are sinners, just like Zacchaeus. No matter what good we've done or how bad we've done, we are all sinners. That means you, dear person on the pew, are a sinner this morning in need of forgiveness, in need of cleansing from your sin. John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already. By that he means if you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior and believed on him, you're already condemned. That means declared guilty. We are guilty of sin. We see in Zacchaeus first a sinful condition, but we also see a sad conclusion. If you notice, it says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Zacchaeus was seeking for something. That means he had come to this conclusion. It was a sad conclusion, but it was a glad conclusion. His sad conclusion was, everything I've tried in my life has not made me happy. Had he been content, had he been happy, he would not have cared about the Lord. He would not have been seeking for this man. His desire was, maybe this man has the answer for me. He had undoubtedly heard about the Lord, and now he hears about Jesus coming by, and he thought, maybe he has an answer. Maybe he can help me. He was not satisfied with all that he had and all that he had done. He was still missing something. And as a sinner, that's where you're at. Missing. That's where I was at before I got saved. Boy, I tell you what, I looked for something to make me happy, and I tried all kinds of different things. I looked here and there, up and down, everywhere, and I came up to this one sad conclusion. None of it satisfies. None of it makes me happy. That's where Zacchaeus was. It was a sad conclusion, but it was a glad conclusion because he realized, I need something that I don't have. I need something that I don't have. And that's where you're at if you're a lost sinner this morning. What does God want? What does God desire? What does he require that you have a spiritual conversion? That something happens in your life that only God can do. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus. And that's what he needs to do in your heart and life this morning if you've never been saved. I'm talking this morning about the person on the pew. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to myself. The Bible very clearly talks about there's a dissatisfaction through mankind because nothing in this world will satisfy. And that's why the Bible talks about who, knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That verse says that people, knowing the judgment of God, knowing that sin is wrong, they still do it. And knowing they'll pay for it, they still do it. There's a lot of people who know the facts that they'll have to pay for their sin, and yet they still live in sin. Live for sin. That's where I was when I was lost. Trying to quit, trying to do better, trying to improve, but hopelessly failing every single day of my life. And that's where Zacchaeus was at. He realized, I need something, and I have not found what I need. I'm still not content. I'm still not happy. You see, the Bible says that we are servants to sin. John 8:34 says, whoso committed sin is a servant of sin. That means we are a slave. I say this personally. You are a slave to sin. If you doubt that, I got a test for you. Stop doing it. Quit it. Stop. That's why it's so easy to sin and so hard to do right. We are slaves to sin. We are servants to sin. That's why drug addicts go back to the needle. That's why a drunk goes back to the bottle. That's why the Wall Street executive goes back to another deal. They are bound by sin. It is their master, and they are its slave. It binds them, and Zacchaeus was bound, and he needed something to free him. I have mentioned this morning about the person on the pew I'm talking to you. And what does God desire? Micah said, well, I could do this and I could do that and I could do the other. And God said, no, I'll tell you what I want. First, I want you to have a supernatural conversion. I want you to know me. I want there to be a relationship between me and you. Zacchaeus experienced that conversion. Zacchaeus experienced that change in his life. I have mentioned his sinful condition and his sad conclusion. Could I go on and talk about his spiritual conversion? Zacchaeus heard about Jesus coming by. And he was a short man. And, of course, Jesus always attracted a crowd. And there's crowds of people gathering around where Jesus comes by. Well, Zacchaeus, there's no way in the world he can shuffle through that crowd and get to Jesus. I mean, a big man, a strong man, may muscle his way through. Or a little dainty lady that's pretty and say, could have just please slipped by? They may let her go by. But not Zacchaeus, especially not Zacchaeus, the tax collector. If he touched somebody on the shoulder, they looked and saw who he was, they'd say, you think I'm letting you have my place? You're crazy. So he was short, he was small, and he was hated, and he could not get to Jesus. He's thinking, maybe if I can get to this man, I can get the help I need. But he couldn't get to him. I got a question. What's keeping you from Jesus? People were keeping Zacchaeus from Jesus. And people for months kept me from getting to Jesus. Because I kept thinking, better said, the devil reminded me of my friends. And he said, if you get saved, what will your friends think? They'll think you've gone crazy. And when I got saved, most of them did. And you know what? It didn't matter one bit in the world to me because of what the Lord had done in my heart. Here's a man knows maybe Jesus can help him, and he wants to get to the Lord, but he can't get to where Jesus is. And I want to tell you what, you can't get to Jesus. Jesus must get to you. And that's what's going to happen. I'm talking about his spiritual conversion. He couldn't get to Jesus. Verse 4 said he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree. And verse 5 says Jesus came by, amen, amen, and called to him. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus is seeking something, someone. He knows he needs help. He knows he's not happy. He knows he's not content. He knows there's something missing. And maybe Jesus is the one who has what he needs. He can't get to Jesus, but now all of a sudden Jesus has come to him. And he's calling on Zacchaeus. My prayer, my hope, my plea to the Lord is that Jesus will call to you this morning. I prayed just a minute ago, oh Lord, you convicted me years ago, and you still can convict others. Call to somebody, that person on the pew that you brought here this morning, that person that you brought here to speak to, Lord, please speak to them. You can't get to him, but he can come to you. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Jesus said, the only way you can get to me is for the Father to come to you and say, come on, I want you to meet my son. I got somebody I want you to meet. I know somebody who can help you if you'll come on. And unless he says, come on, you ain't coming. You can pray, you can beg, but it won't be real. There's been a whole lot of repentance. No. There's been a lot of reformation. People turning over new leaves, trying to do better. But without that draw of the Spirit, without the what we call the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, a person cannot get saved. I say that this morning to let you know something. If God speaks to you this morning, please listen. Jesus said, Jesus invited, Jesus even commanded Zacchaeus, come down. And he came down. He came and received Jesus. Verse 6 says, he made haste, better do it in a hurry, he ain't got much time, and came down and received him joyfully. And this morning, that's what, you want to know what God wants? You want to know what his requirement is? You want to know what his commandment is for you to receive his son, to be converted, to be saved? That's why Isaiah 45:22, the God of heaven says, look unto me and be ye saved. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's already made preparation. He's already paid the price. He's already provided what you need for forgiveness, but you must come to him. You must receive him. That's accepting what he did for you on the cross. Accepting the fact that he said you're a sinner. And coming to him when he calls you. And that's what Zacchaeus did. And that's why he had a supernatural conversion. A spiritual conversion. Then I want you to notice in verse 8. Not only his sinful condition and his sad conclusion and his spiritual conversion, but his sudden change. I'll tell you what, you get saved, there's going to be a change. And it is a sudden change. You know why? You know why? You know why? Because you're different. You're different because you're different. Ain't that profound? He is different. Verse 8 says, behold, the Lord, the half, notice he's called him Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He said, I am going to be different because I am different. I'm going to start treating people right. I've been a thief and a robber. And I'm not only not going to do that, I'm going to start doing the good things. You know why? Because he was different. Not because he was deciding to do different. He had turned over new leaves already, and it hadn't worked. But now there's a sudden change. His heart was different. He called him Lord. You know why? Because he was his Lord. From now on, Jesus, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for you. My life belongs to you now. I'm not my own. What I want doesn't matter. What you want is what matters. Why? Because his heart was different. Before, all he wanted was for himself. He would rob, cheat, do whatever he had to do, lie, it didn't matter. He just wanted another dollar. He'd cheat his mama if he could get a dollar. But not now. His heart was different. And I want to tell you, when you get saved, your heart's going to be different. His heart was different. His habits were different. It says there, if I've done anything wrong to make it, if I cheated anybody, and he wasn't saying, if I have, I don't really know if I have. No, he's just saying, I know I have, and I know I'm going to change this thing. His habits were different. He not only talked different, he acted different. He made things right. His heart was, I'm talking about his sudden change. Zacchaeus wasn't the same. His heart was different. His habits were different. His hereafter was different. Notice what Jesus said in verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house. I don't know when it happened, but I know it did. I don't know if it was 2 days, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Don't have any idea. I don't know when it happened, but I know it happened. Zacchaeus died. And had Zacchaeus not met the Lord, Zacchaeus, when he died, would have gone to hell. But Zacchaeus, having met the Lord, when he died, he didn't go to hell. He went to heaven. His hereafter was changed. And see, that's what gets you to heaven. Not our good works. You ain't got none. Our good works before a holy God are vile. Because our good works are saying, I'm good enough. That's like Cain's offering. Cain did the best he could. He raised the fruit or the vegetables, whatever. And I believe they were beautiful. And had you eaten, they would have tasted great. He did the best he could. And he honestly offered to the Lord. But God said, that's not what I ask for. I ask for a sacrifice. The shedding of blood brings remission. Not a fruit, not vegetables, not your good works. You did the best you could. Great, Cain. You worked hard. Great. But that's not what I ask for. And your good works are vile because that's not what I ask for. Because those are your works. The offering of Abel was a lamb that was slain and the blood. The innocent dying or the guilty. And God said, that's why I accept Abel. Not because I like him better, but because he did what I asked for. What does God ask for you this morning? The person on the pew, I'm talking to you. No one else. Only you. He wants you to be converted this morning if you aren't. He wants every person on earth to be saved. Notice what it says here. Verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He's on the way through. And you notice what he said to Zacchaeus in verse 5. Zacchaeus, make haste. Why? Because I'm not staying long. I'm passing through. And this morning, I believe with all my heart, God is passing by. He's passing through. And on his way through this service, he has spoken to you. And just like with Zacchaeus, he says, will you come? Will you come now? Don't wait. Don't delay. Hell is full of people who said, not today, a little bit later. And they waited too late and they died unprepared and they're in the hell right now and will stay there until it's time to go to the lake of fire. And they'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever burning in fire. And you don't want to go there. And that's why God brought you here this morning. That's why he let me preach this message, had me preach this message to you, person on the pew. He wants you to be saved. To be saved, you must admit you're a sinner, admit you're hopeless, admit your good is no good, admit you cannot help him. You must admit and you must accept his way, accept his provision, accept his work on Calvary as your payment. Accept him as Savior. Accept him as Lord. It's more or less like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I can't help myself. And I know my sin one day will take me to hell, and I deserve it. But Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me to pay for my price, to pay my place, to provide forgiveness. And I come to you right now. I accept your payment. I accept your gift. I accept your forgiveness. Lord, take me. Here I am. And I believe on you. I accept you. That's what being saved is. And when you do that, when you surrender, that's what Zacchaeus did. When he came down off that tree, he was surrendering to the Lord. And he was never the same. And he's enjoying heaven right now because of what he did that day. What does God want from you? What does he desire? What does he require? First, that you be saved. That there's an experience between you and him that births you into his family. And I want to ask you, will you pursue that? Will you let that happen? Will you ask him to do that this morning while he's passing by? Had Zacchaeus not come down, Jesus would have kept right on going and Zacchaeus would have gone to hell. And this morning you decide to accept it or reject it. And by not accepting, you're automatically rejecting. Let's stand together, heads bowed. Brother Butch, if you'll come with a song.